Welcome to the So-and-So series, readings by early career poets.
He has an MFA from the University of Michigan, where he taught creative writing workshops and received 2 Hopwood Awards, and recently held a Fulbright Hayes Fellowship in Russia and Poland. He has also translated several works from Eastern and Central European literatures, and this is where the names get difficult. Most recently, Dorota Masłowska. Snow White and Russian Red from Grove Press in 2005. And Marek Bienchik? Yes, score. And I forgot to ask you about this one, but is it Torky?
Torky?
It's Forky. I probably should. Yeah. You should go online and look. I'm making all of this up, by the way. He didn't hand in a bio. From Northwestern University Press, 2007. Starting this fall, he will be assistant professor of Slavic languages and literatures and of comparative literature at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, and a postdoctoral fellow of the Michigan Society of Fellows. Benjamin Palo.
Grad student is doing field work for a thesis on how insanity is spread by contagion. Sorry, a middle-class looking woman says as she skips out on her fare, but I'm not used to this motion. This is where we learn how the social contract dictates that the bus must always be late because everyone who rides the bus deserves to be late. And this is where I wonder how it happened that the closest living relative of the elephant is the furry rock-dwelling hyrax, which looks like a fat bunny. Sorry, but I sometimes forget that we still have things to do that do not involve talking about varmints, like feeling kindly enough, if hardly kind, like listening hard to the little girl who points out the window and says to her mother, look, it's an airplane. Where is it taking everybody? A bunch of the poems I'm going to read, they're all pretty short poems, and a bunch have titles that reference antique and late antique philosophers, and they're really, those names are there really to reference kind of modes of rhetoric that are in conversation with each other. It's not to reference like a homework assignment that you didn't do, or you don't need to know anything about these people to read these. So this poem is called Maimonides on the Indestructibility of the Universe. If I have been placed on this earth to test its weathered ladders, in no way can I be alone. It's on a morning show that I see Jean Shalit raging against the stars. In the paper that I read a story about a doctor in Florida who threw his 2 sons, then himself, each his own story, 15 stories off a balcony, just as his wife was coming out of the hotel bathroom with wet hands. In the painting, I noticed that the angel who restrains Caravaggio's Abraham bears the likeness of Isaac, the seed of Abraham, so that it is Abraham arriving in the nick of time to stop himself from destroying himself, which is why the blade is almost transparent, the ram waiting patiently to close the circuit. I say that God is somewhere in the opening and closing of these circuits, a light you flick on and off to signal love or distress across the courtyard. Across the rail yard, I am led by the light in the station master's window, though the station master has long since been replaced by indifferent machines, which throw the switches and cancel the cold sacrifices of physics. They open the circuits, and the circuits say, "This is not your transport. If anything happens to you here, no one will help you. No matter what happens, refuse to take the stage in the theater they've made of your temple." So that was Maimonides on the indestructibility of the universe. This is Philo on the indestructibility of the universe. All these computers sure take the fun out of rocketing through space. Every point in the universe, a kind of eye observing Earth. Though it's the steel and glass eyes dotting the Earth that we call observatories. That was like two lives ago. And even then, we thought we lived in the best of all possible worlds and prayed to angels to save us from the angels under the bed or around the corner with their long blades and undemocratic values. Though all I really know for certain about my ancestors is that they felt about Babylon roughly the same way I feel about Cincinnati. The soul being a city, but not a city like this or a city you're in, but a city in you, in which there are many bustling theaters and some people applaud afterward to register their gratitude and others during as a sign of their pleasure. I think I picked up Oni's animal theme. So it's called Some Things the Romans Did. workers, soldiers, slaves, all the trappings of royalty and agriculture. Watching a documentary on ants, I question why you would take offense at being called ant-like. Such ingenuity and cool precision, willingness to get along with your cohabitants who, genetically and environmentally speaking, are also you. What you lack in diversity, you make up in artistry. Easy enough when every move is a dance. You attack in legions, colonize whole continents. You were the dream of the Republic realized and suddenly gone. Like Etruscan, your language is indecipherable. I know this much. You herded cattle made small by memory. Your banquet floor mosaics depicted scraps and bones, no need to clean up. Coins under the tongues of the dead paid for passage, so I have no choice but to feed you the quarter you saw coming, you, well off, engraved skeletons on chalices as a reminder of mortality, that the soul exists and exits through the mouth.
At least it's time, well.
It's, you know? My wife and I, who are now leaving the Boston area, we used to live just down the street over here between two firehouses, and you just hear that like constantly. And I almost miss it in the South End, but I don't really. This poem is in four very brief parts. It's called The Four Great Inventions of Ancient China. Paper. We might as well be talking about ceramics. In the race to build a more perfect fire, the team with the stronger heat shield wins. I used to think our orders weren't worth the paper they're written on, but then I turned page after page across millennia, only to say I could now walk into fire as if to a wedding. Compass. Just now we were in Rome, and now we're in Zhanjiang province. Without the compass, this would not be possible. Experienced woodsmen carry two compasses. People lost in the wilderness often come to distrust the one they love. a strong argument for polytheism. To whom do I report the driver's unattended baggage, his suspicious behavior? Greetings, I say, to the last resplendent soul to leave what had been this town. Gunpowder. I won't stick my chest out before someone else's firing squad, just so history might say I passed that test. That's no way to live. Gunpowder speaks for itself. To be alive at this party, you have to be conscious of your breath. I am party conscious, and you are not. Thank goodness we are both breathing, my arm cast across the bed and over your body, and I am waiting to be told what it is I feel under my arm, a tap-tap not unlike the near hopeless rhythm of someone signaling from beneath infinite rubble. It may be my heart, it may be your heart. There is infinite rubble on the news. There are infinite contexts in which an open heart is not nearly a good thing, contexts I do not nearly wish to name. Printing. The diagram of a Siamese standpipe. The red scare quotes. The boy's book of the sea. The pay dirt. The way a semicolon looks like a comma with a very small idea. The way that man from Shanghai seems to know everything about flowering trees. I too wish to know everything about flowering trees. All right, so these next two very short poems refer to a kind of generalized image that you would know from religious art, and it's the image of the Annunciation, the moment that the archangel comes down, descends, and presents the Holy Ghost to Mary. I'm Jewish, but I always really liked that image. And I'll read this for Rebecca, my friend. We were just in the museum talking about this the other day. So this is Diptych of the Annunciation, left panel. I am a celebrity. People I do not know put words in my mouth, take my picture. And still, I am not untouched by beauty. The hollow bones of birds and horses, hair tied back with hair. And still, I am not free from worry, the terror of the special train, or that look in the eyes of men who aggressively beg each other for change. I say that I have no pockets just to shut them up, but it's not true. Deep within the folds of my being, I am carrying an urgent message. I'd pay attention if I were you. Diptych of the Annunciation, right panel. I feel that I will be witness to a magnificent slight. The bird in flight shot through the skull, the girl sawed in half, the trapdoor, the Egyptian gambit. I am clever and know sophistry enough not to divorce it from consequence. Should I die, may they see by my book that my life was liberated, that even after the car chases and intrigues, the pistol shaped like a fountain pen, I remain more than a story to be told. Sweet errand, our sight lines tell me that we are already one. I'm going to read a poem called Mechanical Turk, which is the name of a very old form of hoax. It's not a slur, a racial slur. I've read this before and was really nervous that people would be freaked out by that. But anyway, Mechanical Turk. You don't have to tell me twice that if it weren't so cold, freezing in your own home would feel like humiliation. That where the silverfish wander the dark woods of the shag bath mat, looking as you would never imagine yourself, looking for the lost children of tyrannical step-parents, you must make your body known. And after the rain, it's the trees that rain, and the swallows deserting the bell tower that sound like the wind in autumn leaves, though it is summer and there is no wind. Only in hell is everlastingness a meaningful measure of anything, of the constraints placed on angels, of the real question, if we win, what do we win? Contrary to the reassurances of military advisors and pharmaceutical ads, it is no longer enough to be a master. You must hide yourself within an exquisite machine. I'm going to read this for my wife, Megan. She's really cool. She's right here. It's called School of Titian. In time, we bid farewell to every imagined inmate in our menagerie. The cats and crows, the snakes, the pirates who acted like animals never said goodbye, and the bulls, any one of whom could have been the gods who took our Europe away. Anatomy is rife with spiritual pursuit. If I'm no atheist, nor can I deny a deity that consists solely of matter suspended in the simultaneity of these departures. I'm going to skip this one. I think I'm giving my three short poem warning. For some. Seneca on Providence. It would not surprise me, Lucilius, if love were to find you in a dark and deadly alley, no matter how you rank where you seed. I am sad for you. You have the absolute confidence of everyone in everything you do, the potential for hoax notwithstanding. There is no remedy for garbage or traffic, even in our ancient world. Even if I could get a real job, say, transforming bombs into people, work would never tell me what I want. If Providence tells us anything, it is that they will never not be working on this street. Lines strangely inspired by Cambridge Street. Philo on Providence. It's in the way the winds differ from what's written that I become a cryptomnesiac, so that before long God's got me thinking I'm the one who invented ether. But not the kind that makes you stupid or a Civil War amputee if you were lucky, because I think I read somewhere that that's what used to pass for luck, but the kind that gives light something to breathe, that I might then perceive every possible course, as if before the second plane could have ever referred to anything but the second plane, which when you think about it is forever drawing in the breath of the world's biggest fan, but not your biggest fan, who blows you away in front of your home, if that's the home Providence has given you, to which my father says, God forbid, to which God says, whatever it is that God says. I'm going to close with a poem called Seneca on the Brevity of Life. When we consider everything we've failed to do, does it really matter that our progeny will know us only by the lists of things we intended to buy? Yes, I think so. When I see a lost bundle or a bridge left to ruin, it ignites a pain in me I know is mine alone, though I have never been a soldier. There is nothing in philosophy so instructive as our having lost the war. Thanks very much.